する積み重ねて降り積もった関係にふさわしい名前を探すけど絆だけで明るくて支えられやしないだろう無尽蔵に膨らむ気持ちは同じ場所で同じ目線のまま
Hello, you're listening to a Talking Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here, as always, with the fantastic Chris.
Yo, I'm fantastic today. I am on fire.
I'm just trying to be super cheery after a really terrible yesterday. Last, like, 48 hours, really. So, this is a chill stream. It's basically a not stream. I guess stream is means that we're live. Podcast. Where we just basically chill, relax, do some mailbag questions. We're actually piling up on some questions, so I don't want to say that because then that means nobody sends anything. But yeah, things have happened, and that kind of put me behind on setting up a outline for today's podcast. So I figure we just relax, talk about some stuff that's pressing, and then just kind of jump into some mailbag questions and kind of get people updated on everything. Because obviously, like I said a minute ago, last 48 hours has been pretty bad. It's kind of dealing with our website and essentially the hosting where all the podcast episodes are at, had some issues, and those issues are pretty much resolved. But what kind of came of that is I am unfortunately having to shut down the forums, and the website will still be up because we obviously need a place to put all the podcast episodes, but it will no longer be SSL secured, so which doesn't matter because we don't sell anything there. But, the end result is that the forums are unfortunately finally going to be put to the side and shut down. But the good news is we finally opened up the Discord server Chris made, I don't know, 7 years ago. Chris, like, made on a whim thinking we might end up using it, and we never did. So I decided to take it over and throw it out to the public. And it's been a lot of fun over the last 24 hours. A nice ending to my struggles with the website and the forums is that it was a lot of fun last night talking to a lot of people on Discord. So yeah, if you haven't already, make sure to look for those links. I have it on my Twitter account, Otaku Spirited. There's also a link on the YouTube channel. I'll have it in the description for all videos I make going forward. So there's plenty of places where you can find it. Just definitely jump in there. And if you love anime and want to talk about it, definitely a lot of great people there. Again, we've already had a lot of fun discussion already. So yeah.
Yeah, that happened. One of the also kind of nice things is to see some folks that technically we've been in contact with, but a lot of them that have kind of strayed away from the forums, and so we don't get to talk to them as much. And to see all of them just having a blast on the forums, it's really nice to see a lot of them chatting it up.
Yeah, and it's constantly evolving, so we'll get new channels in there as people, you know, say, hey, I would really like to talk about this, let's make a channel for that, and we could do that stuff. So, and also we pop in on there on a regular basis on the voice chat if anybody wants to jump in there and chat voice. I mean, I would always do the live streams, but it's always like somebody's in the chat on live stream, so they don't get to communicate back without having to type something, so hopefully that'll be fun. We'll see if that doesn't turn into a bad thing. Suddenly randos just pop in there and start screaming about how I, you know, diss their favorite show or something. But yeah, that's kind of the wrap up of that whole situation. It's like I said, forums down, Discord up, and just kind of figuring out what we're going to do going forward with a lot of that stuff. So I think the biggest issue is that I used to be into web development. I'm no longer that. And so a lot of the stuff is really over my head at this point. And I got really lucky that they actually, the hosting site actually helped get it back up. And I don't think that'll happen again if something happens. So I'm leaving the forums up there. So if anybody has like some writing or something they did on there, because I know there was a few people that were writing stuff on there, reviews and their own little, you know, kind of just kind of their little novels, things they were writing. Definitely make sure to get that stuff archived somewhere else. So go on there, get it downloaded, copy it, whatever. I'll leave it up as long as possible, but I don't know when that issue is going to come up again and it goes back down. So I don't want people to lose stuff that they wrote there that they actually want to keep. So yeah, nothing is forever, sadly. But
yeah,
as I mentioned before, earlier, it's kind of a chill stream. So we'll do some kind of questions from the community members. We did make a spot on the Discord where you can submit your questions there as well. There's also a feed there, so you can see all the stuff that we post, either be YouTube or podcast and everything. So that'll be cool as well. Kind of a central location. And hopefully, it doesn't consume all my time, because I spent quite a bit of time yesterday talking on there. So, but yeah, that's great. Today is going to be, well, as the posting of this will be tomorrow, but as a day, we'll be doing a Yaimiko stream. So that'll be a lot of fun. And yeah, are you excited for Yaimiko?
Yeah.
I think we've talked about Yaimiko before. I was hoping that you'd have some additional information this time, because obviously, like you said, the Chinese servers are getting up there, but you've been too busy dealing with waifu bots. So you didn't watch any of it, obviously. But yeah, with that said, let's jump into some questions, because we have some questions. But yeah, we have some dumb baka posted in on a question from our website. Says, "Hey guys, I just wanted to thank you for recommending Taisho Tomy Fairy Tale.
You're welcome.
And doing a spotlight video on it. It's definitely an underrated show that deserves more attention. It would have flown under my radar if it not been your recommendation." That's what we do. That's all we do. Unfortunately, I couldn't get in the Crunchyroll Anime Awards. The story is sweet and heartfelt. There's only one downside to me.
Speaking of which, I'm just going to throw this out there.
Do it. This is a chill stream. You can rant whenever you want.
I want everybody to know, okay? This is for everybody to spread the word, okay? Those of you who catch somebody that mentions that, the judges were not effectively responsible for what happened during the anime awards, okay? And I am speaking outside of everything because I technically did not involve myself personally in the anime awards. So I can speak objectively and theoretically. The judges are technically not responsible for that. They put in their input into it, and then everything moved on from there. So those people who are from the outside looking in and saying the judges only could input what they could, but there is a lot of judges. And
well, yeah, I mean, what, there's 50 judges. There's not 50 nominations.
Yeah.
That's the easy way to explain it. There's like 50 judges and there's not 50 nominations. So yeah.
I'm trying to say, you know, for those of you who are saying the judges are, no, the judges can get drowned out very quickly. So the ones who put in, like we're mentioning here, Taisho Tomy Fairy Tale, we're only one voice in a sea of 50 voices. That's the best that I can put it.
Chris was not a judge. So that's why Chris can say whatever he wants to say.
Yeah.
Though he can't say anything that I may have told him that I didn't tell him, because I'm not allowed to tell him.
Yeah. There's certain things that I know and other things that I don't know.
Well, that's the great thing is, like, typically what'll happen, and they've actually done this before. Crunchyroll would come out and say, literally, it's not us. The judges pick these. Like, they're trying to throw the blame to the judges. But it's still like every time somebody's bad, they get angry at Crunchyroll because they don't care about the judges. They just care about Crunchyroll. So that's fine. But no, if I had my way, yeah, Taisho would definitely have been in the romance area. I've already posted And here's the thing is, like, we're totally getting into the conversation about Crunchyroll. Here's the thing is, like, I don't know that if the judge, if the, the judges, the industry in Japan really cares about what is picked in the anime awards from Crunchyroll. I do know they've acknowledged when they win and they're really happy about it and stuff like that. I've seen posts from them saying they're happy about it. They've had even the, you know, directors and stuff come on their awards before when they actually did a production of their awards. And they actually say they were happy about, you know, winning everything. Did I tell you I had my best live stream yet with covering the Crunchyroll Awards?
I popped in and just caught it after it had already, you'd already done it, and I was looking at it, and you were mentioning the fact that of how many people were watching. I was like, wow, that's cool that you picked up so many viewers off of that.
It was like one of those kind of a spur of the moment things. Like, I was literally setting up to watch their stream, the awards, on a live stream and react to it. And I'm all talking about how, you know, should I have it on the corner of the screen or something like that? I might get striked, but I want it to be available for others to watch the VOD and stuff. But and it just pops up. All the awards, the winners are just on the website. And I'm like, okay, so that did a live stream. So I guess I'll do it. And at some point, I looked at the statistics. And I'm like, holy crap, there's a lot of people watching right now. Are you guys literally just looking for the live stream of the Crunchyroll Awards? And they're all, yes. I'm like, okay, cool, let's do it. Let's just do it. We'll do it live. It was a lot of fun, though. But anyways, we totally got sidetracked here. Some Dumbaka. Going back to your question, because we got Dumbaka'd. Anyways, about Taisho Tomy Fairy Tale. The only thing, the downside for me, Ryo, I can't forgive her what she made Yuzuki and Tamahiko go through. I am on your side. I know there's a lot of defenders of her, but I'm on your side.
It's funny, as the resident quote-unquote defender, I'm technically not defending her. I didn't like what she did. I do like her, but I don't defend what she did. I didn't like what she did. That was annoying.
Yeah, I think, not to get too into the weeds about the spoilers and stuff, I think the problem that I really had with her was that it's like one of those things where it seems like the writer is having these moments where the character can essentially take a step back and stop, like change her direction. And she just keeps going that direction. She keeps going the direction of, you can stop this right now, but you're not. And that's what frustrates me. It's always whenever it feels like this is a point in which they can stop and they don't. That's what makes it annoying for me. So anyway, he says, I didn't care for Ryo. Also, I am surprised that AMC bought Sentai. And we are too. I still remember way back when Sentai used to release anime in clamshell VHS cases. Wow. Under the name of 80 Vision. Was that 80 Vision? I didn't know that. I'm hopeful that with this buyout, because AMC has Shudder, which was previously VRV, and they release uncut horror films full of sex and violence. Not saying that it's all Sentai has in their catalog, but it'll be amusing to have the option of picking a slasher flick of Redo or Healer on a streaming platform if that does happen. Hope they still continue to license interesting shows and always keep up the great work. Yeah, I guess that's the hope. Like we said before, it's never something that changes immediately. It's something that could take some time before you start seeing, okay, now they're starting to get into their business. Or, okay, suddenly out of nowhere, they're changing the name of Sentai Filmworks to AMC Anime or something like that. It always takes time. They have to let things settle first before they start really shifting things around. And it's really a lot to do with them really, the leaders up and everything, figuring out what makes, you know, Sentai Filmworks work before they change things. Because if you don't understand fully what the company is that you bought, well, they obviously do their investigation, but really see how people function there. You don't want to change it before then, otherwise you end up breaking something and you basically waste money. But, yeah, that's interesting. I didn't really, and to the comment about, well, because AMC has this, Sentai is going to be okay. Do keep in mind that with many other companies, they don't see Japanese media the same way they see Western media. I mean, that's the whole argument with like Sony has terrible stuff, violent, sexual stuff in their games. They're even their first party games, especially, but they censor Japanese games. They don't see it under the same lens, obviously, because, well, typically with anime and Japanese media, characters tend to be labeled as much younger, but still, it's there. And they see things completely different depending on where it's coming from. So, I don't know. I'm still kind of keeping my hope up on AMC. I mean, as opposed to many other companies that could have bought Sentai Filmworks, I think AMC has the most, at least the least amount of controversies in my head. So, I'm hopeful. I really am hopeful.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I stand on it. Is it, the when it comes down to it, it's a hope and a dream. There is things that I get annoyed about that AMC has done, but when it comes down to it, they're less so than most than other companies. So that's why I tend to be more hopeful.
I totally missed a sentence you said. what she made them go through in Taisha Tomy Fairy Tale, just like you guys didn't care for the guys hitting on Sakurai. My senpai is annoying. That was a little bit different. That's just like a bunch of guys that are just trying to get her attention, and it's like, yeah, you guys are failing. Give up. She doesn't care for you. But again, thankfully, because of the guys hitting on Sakurai and senpai is annoying, we did get the relationship blossoming that we did because he was protecting her. It was cute. But yeah, thanks for the question. Some dumb baka. Somebody out there that's a dumb baka. Let's see here. We had Kevin sent us a message on our Patreon, which we do have. If you do, are you a patron of ours? You can send direct messages to us. So it says, question for you. I was bored and I was sick recently and binge watched Daily Life of the Immortal King on Funimation. Magical battle shows are not exactly my typical genre, and I'm not entirely sure how I feel about it, though there are some things about it I do like. How does the anime community handle this show? It isn't Japanese, so it's isn't in the ratings. It isn't on your list of shows airing right now. I just clicked on it because I like the art and the thumbnail without a clue of what it is. It clearly represents a somewhat different culture universe with a few of its own unique tropes. None of them bother me. Yeah, I think the interesting thing with a lot of that kind of stuff is there, because I think this is from the same, what the heck is that company called? No, it wasn't the studio I thought it was. Anyways, it is one of those Chinese animations and stuff like that, which we dealt with quite a few of them with like Bloodivores and what was the other one that was kind of big at that time? At some point, we're getting a lot of anime that were being done by a Chinese studio, which, again, to be clear, a lot of anime that we get these days are actually animated by Homeliners, that was the company, are animated by Chinese studios. It's a big controversy going on right now. I think they had like this recent government hearing in Japan. They were bringing up the issue with pay by animators, and they were pointing out that Chinese animators were getting paid more than the Japanese animators. And so a lot of that business is flowing over to China. And so it's not to say that it's a question mark about, you know, who exactly puts pen to the paper. Because we're already seeing it. We just don't know about it because they're outsourcing it. The question really comes from the writing. For me specifically, I mean, Chris can have a different opinion. What I had an issue that I had with a lot of the Homeliner stuff that they were doing, which were technically a lot of Chinese and Korean mangas and storytellers, was that it felt different. Like, I knew based on us watching a lot of the Homeliner stuff, it felt different. The comedy was different. The feel of the storytelling was a lot different, and it stood out to me. What wasn't that it was bad. Yeah, Hitori no Shita, the outcast, kind of felt it there. Now, granted, it was just more of an issue of them not really adapting much. We ended up watching The Silver Guardian, too. Like I said before, Bloodivores. And it's not a bad thing. It's just, like I said, when I come into anime, I'm really coming into Japanese storytellers. And so it does feel different when it has a storyteller from somewhere else. Now, granted, that's not to say they're all going to be that way. It's just you kind of feel it. Agree, disagree?
Yes and no. The comedy I can kind of agree on with. And that's a funny thing, because it's one of those things that makes you realize how much culture can affect humor. But at the same time, like the action scenes, I liked a lot of the action scenes in Hitori no Shita. At the same time, when it comes down to it, a lot of these shows are just we almost end up watching them just because they're there. In a lot of cases, yeah, we may or may not continue to follow them, depending on how much. Just like any other show, when it comes down to it, some shows kind of hook us and we keep going. Some of them just kind of fall off to the wayside. But yeah, it is interesting that they do tend to get kind of thrown to the wayside very quickly. That their flavor is just very different than in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I noticed specifically with Silver Guardian, the comedy felt a little off. But I will say that things like Link Click, I've heard a lot of really positive stuff about that one. Obviously, there's a lot of other ones that we don't even know that they're actually, like I said before, manhwas or whatever, from more of the other Asian areas, until we really start digging into it. And I think there is a difficulty there, because not to say that it's not anime, it's just one of those things of like, I think that unless it has some sort of strong, I guess, foundation in Japan, I kind of discard it because of the fact that I'm dealing with enough content to have to consume as it is. When we start branching out to there, and then you start branching into the US-based quote-unquote anime and stuff like that, I can't cover it all, so I'm just trying to stick with just this thing that I'm familiar with and that I've done a lot of dealings with. I mean, that's just like they were talking about, you know, adapting Solo Leveling.
Yeah.
That one is definitely one that's on my radar. Hopefully, again, it's a Japanese studio and stuff that's going to be working on that. And again, Link Click is definitely one that, based on just the hype around it, I kind of do want to get back around to it just to cover that. But
gosh, I hope that gets taken care of by a Japanese studio, because that's one of those that, as much love as the community has for it, it needs to get a solid adaptation.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... I think it's right at current, it's just rumor, so I don't know if they've announced a studio yet. So that's definitely one that I'm keeping an eye out, just because of the hype around it is definitely...
I hope that people haven't overhyped it. That's one thing, because as it stands right now, I as much as people have hyped this up, it better be really freaking amazing, because... And I'm going to try and go into it with very low expectations, but it's hard not to, as much as people have just praised that story.
Well, that's the thing. It's like especially with manhwas, I don't really hear much talk about them. Like, every now and then somebody's like, yeah, I checked out this one manhwa. Have you checked it out? And I'm like, I've never heard of it. And again, it's hard to keep up. It's got number 10 in popularity on Miami list. But, it is one of those things where, at least with Solo Leveling, that's one that just keeps being brought up. It's like, it's not just a random person saying, you should check out this manhwa. It's like, well, I don't, if I had time, I would. But that's one of the few ones where it's like, okay, people just won't really stop talking about this. So obviously there is something to be had here. It's not just a random flare that just pops up. But to get back to another question that was in there from Kevin, is specifically talking about the anime community. And I think that gets back to where I just said, is that idea of, yes, I see that flare every now and then of somebody saying, I did check out this one thing. Again, like Link Click. That's probably one of the few ones. Again, back when Wholeliners was doing a lot of stuff that was in our radar, like, again, Blood of Wars. Was it Blood of Wars that they did? I don't know if they did Blood of Wars. Stuff like that just popped up in the feeds. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they did.
But it was like a random thing that would pop up, and everybody, unfortunately, in pretty much all cases with a lot of those, people are off put by the animation, and then it immediately people no longer talk about it. Because to be honest, what required, and I don't think most people really cared who wrote it. As long as it ended up in their feed for an anime streaming service, they didn't care where it came from. So when you specifically say non-Japanese studio, non-Japanese writers, I don't know necessarily that the overall fandom cares. They don't look into that stuff. I think that there was a little bit of talk around the idea with one specific one, I forget which one it was, about how the humor felt off. And I'm like, well, yeah, the humor feels off because it's not a Japanese writer, so the comedy is a little bit different. But I think, again, the overall community doesn't really – I don't think they look into it to know. But the problem comes in why people don't talk much about those shows is there's two major issues that you face when you go into a new anime. It has to do one of two things. Either it has to have an incredible story or it has to have amazing animation. And – unfortunately, with a lot of those, again, Holiners, other studios in that area, problem they have is the animation's never there. Again, getting back to the ones that I mentioned earlier, Blood of Wars and all them, the animation wasn't there. Hitori no Shita, animation wasn't there. They had some really cool spots, or they had good art style, and there was a couple of early action scenes that they put a lot of effort in, but overall... especially for like a quote-unquote battling type show, the animation wasn't really there. And so it kind of fell apart. I'm like desperately trying to remember. And I mean, that was the same with Guardian. The Silver Guardian just wasn't there. And I don't think people care much outside of that. I think a lot of people, there was a few people in our community that liked Cheating Craft. I remember that one popping up quite a bit, but it's just not there. But for the Oliver, I don't think most people care. Now, my big curiosity that I really have, and I meant to look into this after I got this comment, and I didn't, unfortunately. Maybe we can revisit it later. Is I'm really curious as to if these specific like Holiners and stuff like the Chinese studio made specifically shows, if they catch the attention at all of Japan. I can totally see Link Click being one of those ones that captures the, the female audience to Japan. But I'm really curious as to, as a whole, if the Japanese fandom cares much for it, or because I've heard that they don't really care, or they don't really mind so much, different countries making quote unquote anime, but. I'd be curious if they get into a lot of this stuff, or if they just have the same mindset as us. As long as it has a good story and good animation, I don't really care where it comes from. But that would be a curious thing to look into. I think Link Click would be a good way to gauge that, because like I said, there's a Western fandom for it. So I'd be curious if it did good in Japan specifically. So yeah, interesting stuff. Adrian sent a message too. Says, hey guys, thank you for all the episodes this year. Really cool that the podcast contents did not diminish with the beginning of the YouTube career. That was something I was really focused on. Don't kill yourselves. I'm not. That's a good thing about it being a full-time job, is I can actually devote full-time, 8 hour, well, sometimes more than that, but I can dedicate my work hours that I would normally have with another job in focusing on creating content. So it works out. I still think the podcast could benefit from asking the community to contribute in some short polls via Google Forms or others before some episodes where you discuss a topic. We might look into that. If you can expand on that a little bit, we could probably get something put together. It says, I enjoy the Genshin Impact discussions a lot this year. I still play regularly. The combat doesn't get old. I still get teary at some side stories. I was so glad the anniversary concert got played in my province in Belgium. By the way, as you started crediting us patrons on the podcast by reading our names, if you want to achieve perfect pronunciation of my name, you can check a Google Translate. I think I was saying Dewalke, and it's actually Dewalk. So I apologize, Adrian, for butchering your name every time. But yeah, definitely a lot of fun with the Genshin stuff, despite that. And I don't think that anybody cares. I just always kind of, I think I've had times where I've run into people talking about our podcast and they're like, oh, they talk about, and I think at the time we were talking a lot about Fake Grand Order, and they were like, who talks about Fake Grand Order? I'm not sure what that is. And I'm like, sorry, just bear with us. Ever consider using formulas for, it says, if Genshin questions are acceptable for the podcast here, Do you also use a spreadsheet for keeping track of some of the character advancements? I do. Well, I've created spreadsheets, but then I have a habit of, like, I'm focused on doing something. Like, currently right now, I'm focused on getting all my characters fully ascended. And so how I did that was I created a spreadsheet putting all the materials that I would need so I knew what all materials I should farm, because obviously materials have respawn timers. And I never looked at it again. Like, I created a spreadsheet, and I put all the information of what I need to focus on, and then never use it again. That's my problem, as I do that a lot with things like that. You look at spreadsheets. I don't know if you create them.
I have actually... There is a website that or a spreadsheet that I do keep track of, because they updated a lot of pretty much the general consensus of the super math people that go crazy on all that stuff. So I do keep an eye on that. I have looked into a couple of if you want to call them spreadsheet, they're just pretty much. They keep track of all that information for you. There is one that I have tended to go back to that does have background and keeps all the math straight so that you can get a rough idea of how much damage this particular character will do with these artifacts. The only problem that I have with that is they're not very user-friendly. And so, until one gets to the point where it can be kind of user-friendly, I just work with what I have gotten that seems to be working okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want one that'll look at the screen and say, oh, yeah, here, let me put all that information in for you. But I know that the only problem with that is that I'm sure Genshin would probably see that as modding or MiHoYo would see it as modding, so.
Yeah, they have some really strong... I mean, you could tell, because whenever you open up Genshin Impact, what does it do? It asks you for admin rights. They have a lot of anti-cheat stuff that's just... And that's why it's always online, is because they want to prevent you from gaming their system or getting extra roles and you shouldn't. It says, ever consider using a formula for automatic recommendations of different team compositions, see spreadsheet, based on how frequently you play each character recently and how much you like them? I just kind of go with it. Like, if I like a certain character and want to play a certain character, I'll just basically add characters to it that I think will play well together. I'm fine with the idea of recommending if I don't know what I want to actually actually play. Because usually I'm trying to go for a mixture between synergy and characters I enjoy controlling. And I don't think something like that really can give you an idea of that, because it doesn't know what you like in controlling. So, yeah. Or maybe you don't keep all characters and their equipment at the same not max level like I do. Don't you prefer using characters' Japanese names? See spreadsheet. Given how we hear them in Japanese dub, and not use the Chinese reading of the words. I'm kind of all over the place when it comes to that. Like, I obviously see, and it's like, it's one of those things where typically you'll see a lot of people say, yeah, Keqing or whatever, or Keqing, I think a lot of people are saying off the bat. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, we got the English dub version, which was Keqing. And then, yeah, when you're watching a cutscene, what do you hear? Because I'm using Japanese, obviously. What do I hear? Kokusai. And it's like, yeah, I kind of want to use the Japanese. I just kind of wish that they would have, I guess, when you change the voicing, I wish that they would change the written character name. Because, yeah, a lot of the Japanese names are completely different than what the Chinese and Western names are. Because there's certain names that they don't really have a way of, like, phonetically saying, like, they don't pronounce it the same way, so they end up changing a lot of them. And Kokusai is a prime example of that, or Keqing is a prime example of that. I don't know the story behind why they change it, but they do change it a lot. And yes, I do love having the Japanese voicing on all the time. So if I could see Kokusai in the name for Keqing, it would be a lot easier for me to remember to say that instead. But I see ka-ching on my screen, or ka-king technically. Yeah. It's a weird thing.
There's some that I tend to notice them here and there, especially in particular, I noticed it really heavy with the Shinha recently.
Yeah.
That one Shin-hei. Was driving me. Yeah, because they're pronouncing it very different than it even looks. So sometimes I notice it. The other times I've just gotten to the point where I tend to ignore it in a lot of cases, because there are some of them that does bug me.
The one that was bugging me a lot here recently was Yaimiko. I don't even know where. I'm just seeing a whole bunch of people and a lot of streamers just saying "Yay, Miko." And I'm like, is this supposed to be a joke, or is it people just think it's "Yay"? It's not that it's a problem. I spend so much time reading comments that say that I pronounce things wrong, so I don't want to point out somebody else something wrong. You do you. Well, like if somebody says "Yay, Miko," I'm not going to go, "Who are you talking about?" Now I joke with that with Chris a lot, so I guess I'm wrong there. But I know that Chris can take my jokes and it not be bad. Anybody else, I don't want to assume and make fun of how they pronounce things, but yeah. Well, I mean, that's like when Klee first came out, it was like, well, it's Klee, because Japanese, but obviously everybody's going to say Klee, because K-L-E-E. Nobody's ever going to be happy, and I think it's partly the fault with the game itself, because again, depending on which language you have it on, they're all going to pronounce it differently, so it is what it is. If anybody has a question as to what I'm saying when I say like Yaimiko, and they're like, "You mean Yaimiko?" Yeah, sure.
That's all right. I called Chichi Kiki for the longest time.
Oh yeah,
and then Andrew was like, "Why are you pronouncing it like that?"
That's the one that I make fun with him all the time with. Every time I hear him say Kiki, I'm like, "Chichi, Chris," and like I don't care really. What was the Japanese pronunciation? Do you remember? Do they say Chichi?
I think so, actually.
Because I mean,
it's been a while.
Yeah, I want to say that they said Chichi. Yeah. Anyways. Finally, Adrian says, can you give us a spoiler discussion with your thoughts on the main Inazuma story someday?
Inazuma? I loved it.
Maybe. There's a lot of side stuff. I typically, unless it's like main storyline stuff, I don't read it. I just skip most of it because I think, and that's my biggest problem that I have with Genshin, is I don't like how much their writers overwrite things. That's like the recent Lantern event. I skipped it all because it was literally me skipping through it took like 30 minutes. That's how much dialogue they have in that game. And I would love to read the stories and get into them, but I don't have the time to sit there and go through hours upon hours of dialogue just to cover something they could have said in 10 minutes. I feel like they're wasting my time because their writers are so up their own butts about how great their writing is. I've tweeted them like, tell your writers to chill. Otherwise, I'm not going to read this stuff because I don't have the time to watch you write. I equate it to Attack on Titan. I've joked about the fact that I think they've hired the Attack on Titan writer because it's the same. The Attack on Titan writer has the same problem. He talks in circle with his dialogue, and it's like, just, you could have had this conversation in no time, but you're spending all this time on it. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll have a full clear idea of what the story was in Inazuma. If anything, if we do a discussion on it, it would probably require the next patch, because it looks like the next patch is going to pretty much wrap it up and be a lot of backstory of the Inazuma area. So
I kind of hope that they have some kind of a system to go back, because there is a lot of stuff that I've skipped, and I do really kind of want to get a more thorough understanding of it. Otherwise, I end up having to rely on checking out other people's information on it.
I've done that before, unfortunately, is have to just look for YouTubers that talk about theories and stuff and go, oh yeah, I missed that part, or oh, I remember that part.
Well, at the same time, it's also a lot of this has been dripped out over the course of a year and a half now. So there is a lot of it that I've ended up forgetting.
Yeah, I forgot the opening cutscene until somebody said it on a video. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, that happened. I forgot about that. It says Happy New Year.
Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be chasing my brother. I forgot about that.
Oh yeah, that thing that happened. I forgot. It says Happy New Year. Keep up the good work. So I guess you posted that like literally months ago, 2 months ago technically, but thanks for the Happy New Year's, Hachimaki. Anyways, Smackatosh sent in a question, says, hey guys, or hi guys, sorry, hi guys, what were your thoughts on Offeretta? I just finished it since it was the second season coming out, and I just can't see the appeal despite watching a bunch of Power Fantasy Isekai. Just thought I'd ask, and other side, since Andrew marked it as good in the tier list video. That's true, I did. So, Chris, what is the appeal to Offeretta? Why bother with Offeretta?
The funny thing is I was getting ready to say it's an underdog story, but technically it's not an underdog story anymore. But
it was underdog story for like the first episode.
Yeah, it was an underdog story for the first second. I don't know. I just like its harem. I really do. So when it comes down to it, outside of that, it really, I just like it in general. It's not top tier. It's about just over medium tier. I really do like it, and I do love its harem. I like
masochistic dragon girl, or the young vampire.
I like that's
obviously 100 years old.
Yeah, I like the legal lolly. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then that's the thing. That's the kind of aspect of why I think its harem kind of works so well is that it's got a good balance of characters, and it does play off the jokes surrounding a lot of that stuff, but it does a good job of introducing them. I think overall with Offeretta, my whole perspective is that it was a kind of, it's one of those ones where I look back at and I can't say this is what Offeretta is, because I feel like every two episodes it shifts. Like early on when I started watching it, yes, oh, god-awful CGI, which they're doing a lot better in the second season so far that I've seen. Well, the dragons were a little weird, but it seems like they're doing a lot better with the CGI. Early on, it was like, where'd you get these from? Like a video game with hyper, trying to go for like some hyper-detailed textures that aren't working. It didn't fit the art style of the anime. So, like early on, it was like, holy crap, this does not look good. But there was an element there that kept me going, and that was, I want to see this guy get back to everybody, because I want to see what he'll do. He obviously got betrayed by his classmates, and he went into a terrible situation where he's just being put through hell. What is he going to say when he finally sees his classmates again? And that was the driving force, was, I can't wait till he sees his classmates again. And it gets to that point where it's like, well, okay, well, we got that. So what else? Like, we technically have gotten that. Okay, well, it's a lone story. Now it turned from revenge. It basically goes from, he's thrown into hell. It's a revenge story. You want to know what he does when he sees a class. It's kind of like Spider So What. It's like, you want to see the characters meet each other again. And then it eventually gets to, okay, they've kind of seen each other, but now it's a lone story, but harem. And now it's just basically turned into harem. Now, I'm behind, like, on two or three episodes of the next season, so things could shift. But I really did feel like the opening of the second season was like, okay, it's a harem now. Like, it just felt like the harem took over. The reason why I say that is because before, in the first season, there was no harem conflict. There was harem, but there was no harem conflict, because everybody kind of just accepted that they can be in the presence of this character. Whereas in the second season, suddenly you have the healer girl now approaches, and now suddenly everybody's starting to fight over him. And I'm like, okay, now we're having the harem fighting over him now.
In a lot of cases, it was pretty much just accepted, for lack of a better term, the harem just accepted that, is her name Yui? I'm trying to remember her name for the life of me.
The healer?
The vampire.
Probably.
She was pretty much accepted as...
She was the main wife.
Love interest number one, and nobody else really kind of conflicted with that.
Yeah, Yui was the main girl.
And then
she's the one that claimed him. And then Tio was like, I don't care as long as I get to be at his side. She's like, I'll be a mistress, basically.
Yeah.
And Shia was like, I'm Clueless, cute girl.
Yeah. Genki power beats all.
Yeah, Mew was just obviously my first baby. So there wasn't no conflict. Now Kaori's in, and suddenly you have Kaori versus Yui.
Yeah,
and everybody else is like, okay, whoever wins, as long as I can be a part of it, that's fine.
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, there was even in the last episode that was kind of a, for lack of a better term, a basically you choose this or you choose that. What is that term? Basically. And when it comes down to it, ultimatum. And either you choose this direction or you choose this direction. And that's what you're going to expect. And so that was put down, but even then it was done in such a way that, I'm fine with either choice, whatever you want to choose, but you have to choose that. And so it will be interesting to see the direction that it goes from there. But when it comes down to it, the harem aspect has been, like Andrew said, it being shifted up to basically about level 8. I mean, it's not getting into full on harem levels. They're still trying to push the storyline in the background. It's basically balancing between the two very, very, very well, as far as that. But yeah, I do really like it. It's interesting. I was thinking about it while we were discussing it. It was like, while this one has gotten to a point where it's kind of just kind of chilling out on the story and just pushing the story on lightly, there's other ones that it's like, I would love to bug Andrew to say, hey, go and watch this one at the same time, where that one is kind of like pulled up the story, and it's like, but at the same time, it's like, you always end up in this weird situation of, in particular, I'm talking about, not Genius, but the other one, the Realist. All of the repercussions of the first season, that all came into the forefront. Now that they've dealt with all the repercussions, they're introducing other things. It's like, okay, we're getting real odd now. But at the same time, if I go and say, hey, Andrew, come and watch this one, even though I know you didn't much care for the first season, if I drag you over into it and you don't like it, it's like, shoot.
Which is usually the case.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to Offretta, it's... So my whole point with the first season and why it was quote-unquote good was that, yes, the driving force was interesting. I wanted to see what this... Technically, it was one of the first revenge isekais that we've really kind of experienced, was to see like a more darker perspective and kind of the lone wolf aspect. I think that's an intriguing concept. And again, that goes back to like Spider So What, is that idea of the loner, despite the fact that everybody else is over here, and people seeing the change in somebody. The idea that you, with your classmates, going to another world, and then suddenly one of them gets separated, and then they come back, and they, got a harem, but they're, like, so much rougher. He's got white hair now, he's got a patch on his eye, and he's taller, and he's got guns and stuff. It's like, okay, this dude kind of changed a lot. And that was kind of the selling point of the first season. Now, again, I'm behind a little bit, but I kind of feel like now that that has kind of been established, I don't know that the writer really has enough to... I guess, keep that attention. Is it going to get too focused on the harem stuff and not really have an overall story? Yeah, the demon showing up and saying, oh my gosh, you killed our partner, we're mad at you, doesn't really, it's not driving enough for me.
No, they've shifted into almost a, for lack of a better term, a Game of Thrones thing that they're playing out now. So. Yeah,
I kind of expected that because it was kind of...
They were hinting at it. Now it's more in the forefront.
Yeah. I'm just wondering where the teacher was at. Have they showed the teacher yet again?
Yes,
she kind of disappeared.
She ended up showing up in the last episode.
That poor teacher.
Well, no, it's been a couple of episodes now that they've been talking about, or she's kind of in the middle of the Game of Thrones stuff.
Gotta be. Thanks, Smackatosh. That was great. Another one from Smackatosh. Another Smackatosh appears. Generally speaking, what does Crunchyroll ask the judges to do for their annual Crunchyroll Awards, besides screening, voting on which shows make the ballot? I am not at liberty to discuss that because I signed a non-disclosure agreement. So there you go. Sorry.
And I can only tell you what I told you. I have to be very careful about what I say too. And Andrew will catch me if I say anything I shouldn't say.
Well, we'll give it if I stop being a judge and I get a couple of years, I'll maybe talk about some of it, but I don't know if there's like a time period legality stuff. Not that I think that they would probably come after me, but, you know, you never know. Cake writes in and says, hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Cake. It's like I just opened the door and Cake comes in and says, hey, Chris. And I'm like, all right, cool.
Somebody likes me.
I'll just go do this. Love all you do, Chris, apparently. Keep up the great work, Chris. Wanted to ask a quick question. What are some good slice of life shows that consist of short skit sections? Example, Lucky Star, Nichijou, Dragon Maid. As someone who basically only watches anime during during my commute to work, I hope that you're not driving. It sucks during times when the regular shows and I have to stop watching during big emotional dramatic scenes. I like being able to stop watching it at any time without missing important moments. Thanks for all your time. Hopefully I can catch more of your streams once you stop streaming at all the times I am busy. Just that requires Chris to actually stream again. He's on a hiatus right now. So I can give you I'm sorry, Chris.
Go ahead.
This is directed at Chris. I'm not going to jump in here and take over. That would be very rude of me. So did you, children.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I had thought of. It's
Sudejuri Children is so, like, right there in that list that you just give. Like, Lucky Star, Nichijou, Sudejuri Children.
Yeah, the frustrating thing is that those are one of the more rare.
I just realized the rating on Miami list for Alpharet.
Yeah, I know. I see that.
It's triple sixes. Oh, God.
It's one of those things that you... The best case scenario would be almost one of those types of shows that are actually full length, but they have the you're looking for four corner comics. They're
KOMA.
Four coma. Yeah, that's why I said that.
I think it's pronounced comma, isn't it? Or coma. It's comma. It's comma.
And I just was translating it for you. It's
sure,
there are four panels.
It's okay.
And those are the ones that you're looking for. They tend to get translated, or they tend to get animated as your shorts. So when you go in and you're looking up shows, you look up shorts, and those are the ones that you're going to end up with. The problem is that comedy shorts work really well, but they're not as prominent. So the really good ones are the ones that you're that you tend to look for, but they tend to be the more exaggerated ones as well. And those are the ones that I actually those have been really hit and miss for me. A lot of them tend to end up in the kind of, TQ levels, and I've never cared for the TQ type humor. They're the fast, over exaggerated. Yeah, I mean, obviously you have to be on ADD to watch these daggum shows. So
I think a lot of the cute girls and cute things shows kind of fall into the four comma manga style with the short skits. And now, yes, before anybody says anything, yes, four comma mangas doesn't always have to be section skit based, because I think one of them was that one show with the wolf girl that went to the diviners. Was that big place, the diviners? God, I can't think of the name of it. And that was technically a four comma, but it felt like it had a ongoing story. Now that could have been the adaptation that fixed that way. Before I forget, Nanambiori, if you have not watched that already, that's technically pretty skit based. They're pretty long skits though, sometimes. So, but I think there's something you can pick up and put down. But like I said, a lot of the cute girls doing cute things, like Wakaba Girl and stuff, are always going to fit in that category of more short skits. But yeah, I think, and I hate to say that you're kind of stuck with cute girls doing cute things, but again, I think that's a majority of what you're going to get from those, because they work well with short skits, unless it's like a full-on comedy, again, that technically fits that realm too. Hinamatsuri, it has some skit-based stuff that are a little bit longer again, but they're technically short stories that you can kind of consume.
Yeah, that's a lot of it that I would go with. I would just search slice of life. I mean, and in a lot of cases, even in the situation where you're at, where you don't have time to do that, you can almost set that stuff down and just come back to, or I'm sorry, Yashi Case. Those are a lot of those as well. Even if they are kind of longer stories, you're going to feel like you're okay with kind of clicking it off and coming back and picking it up again. Utero Life, camping, the camping life, a lot of those kind of more chill
Your life. I was like, what are you talking about? What? Udo Camp, I got you.
Udo Camp, I'm sorry.
Layback Camp, yeah. Itori Bochy, I think, was pretty skit-based. Again, that's very slice of life, comedy type stuff.
I was actually thinking of Flying Witch. Is that what that one was called?
That's the one with the girl that goes to the outsticks. But yeah, it kind of is segmented storytelling there. But yeah. Like I said, unfortunately, most of it's cute girls and cute things, but that's technically where you're getting a lot of slice of life. Comedy is going to be from those anyways, so they just do it in a cute way. That way it attaches, or, you know, grabs people's attention. Servinex Service.
Yeah.
I could plug that show. Hopefully you can actually find it somewhere. We'll see. But yeah. Thanks for the question, even though it wasn't, you know, it was completely ignoring Andrew, but there you go.
And I probably answered it horribly because that's a very, very hard question to answer because of the fact that you're in a lot of cases, you're limiting the response to almost the shorts and at the same time still capture that essence. And hopefully we got at least a middle ground for that.
But yeah, if you guys want to talk to Cake, Cake's on the Discord. So thanks for joining us over there. We have bacon, eggs, and cheese chips on a plain bagel. This is evolving. My bacon chips is evolving.
At least he's not in the dark web.
Bacon, eggs, and cheese chips.
At least he's not in the dark web anymore.
That's true.
He hasn't been in the dark web if it's the same person. Maybe he just gave up on the dark web at the beginning of the year because it seems like the last few questions have been outside of the dark web since the beginning of the year.
I'm glad you finally came out of that dark web closet and joined us out here. I have a very spooky question that no anime podcast has ever been asked before. Ooh.
Uh-oh.
What's your guys' favorite American movies? My favorite movie of all long time is District 9. That was a weird movie.
Yeah, it was.
Thanks for either liking, roasting some of my favorite anime characters with my last question. I'll probably do my favorite anime list next question for you guys to critique next. Yeah, like we said before, we did some fun thing with somebody. I forget who it was last time, sending in their top list that they enjoy. And we, you know, basically say if we agree with it or disagree with it. It was a lot of fun. So thanks for the podcast. P.S. I still have your Minecraft password.
Darn it. The funny thing is that as cheesy as it is, and totally not because I like wolves, has nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. I do like Dances with Wolves purely for the fact that I love the idea of the Sheriff of Nottingham saying, "I'll rip your heart out with a spoon."
I'll rip your heart out with a spoon. Wouldn't a knife do better? Because it's, or no, so what do you say? Would you do that? It's dull, you twit.
It'll hurt more.
That's what it was.
That's
the bloody point.
I do love, I'm your Huckleberry from,
Tombstone.
Tombstone, yeah.
I didn't like that show. Not that I didn't like that movie. I didn't want to like it because of like the hype that was around it. That was kind of like
Val
Twilight.
Kilmer
when Twilight
killed
happened,
that.
I'm
show.
Like, I don't want to touch this.
Val Kilmer absolutely killed that show, and that is purely the reason why I love that show.
What I've watched of it, I think it was phenomenally done. So don't get me wrong.
But see, and that's the funny thing is, like I said, when the first things that come to mind when you say what's your first American or your favorite American movies, those are the ones that I automatically go to, and it's like, I don't know which one is really the, I mean, my first inclination is to say Dances with Wolves. I watched that to death, but at the same time I watched Tombstone to death. To go with what you were saying on District 9 is like, it's funny. The things that come out of that, it's almost, I remember how much hype that show got.
Oh my gosh.
And I watched it purely
advertisement come up with behind that.
Yeah. That brilliant, marketing schedule. But then at the same time, Blair Witch had brilliant marketing as well.
Yeah, too. Don't worry. It's really real. People died in this. It's totally real. Come watch this totally real film. It was like, and people were falling for it. People were falling for it. I don't know if they're just playing into it. I don't know. That could be the thing, too.
It's funny that...
I thought you would say Titanic was your favorite movie of all time.
I did like Titanic. I do, and I know I unironically truly loved Titanic. I know that everybody hates that movie, but I did like it.
Here's a secret for everybody, and I apologize to super fans. I just hate Leonardo DiCaprio. I've always hated Leonardo DiCaprio. I've never liked... Is there a film of his that I like? I want to say there's one, but I don't think so. I think I've always, every time I see him, I don't want to watch the movies that he's in. I don't know why. And that was a huge one. I think that was probably the start of my hatred for DiCaprio, probably. He was a heartthrob, so it was easy to not like him for me growing up. But yeah, I don't know. We were talking on Discord about, somebody asked what your favorite 10 or 5 games of all time were, and I'm like, it's hard to think about because I just don't really think about that kind of stuff. Anything outside of making top lists for anime all the time that I focus so much attention on, it's hard for like, oh yeah, by the way, I also play games. Well, what's your favorites? Oh, I've never really thought about it.
And the stupid thing is that I am so out of date on pretty much anything Western now.
Same.
If you stop and think about it, when it comes down to it, any of the newer movies, I have no idea. I could very much have a lot of love for anything in the more recent stuff that I'm not even bothering to watch. And so,
yeah, games.
Understand
and anime,
my
games into the equation.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, this is all old stuff.
Yeah, I think the only recent movie I watched was I skimmed through the Don't Look Up movie, and I laughed and I turned it off. I did watch the that was a TV series movie. I don't know. I don't even remember what the last movie I watched. I watched a bit of the.
Mine was one of, it was the last, Star Wars movie.
Yeah, we did watch those together. And that was kind of just like just because our father really liked it. So we're kind of just ending the cycle of all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, I did watch I do watch, like, John Wick. So I watched quite a bit of the John Wick ones. I actually really enjoy him as an actor. I think when I was younger, I watched Homeward Bound a whole crap ton. But that's like a blast from past thing. That was like a childhood thing.
Dogs roll and cats drool.
Yeah. other than that, I don't really know. I really don't honestly know. I've never been a big movie fan. In my entire life, that's the thing. Like, I enjoyed the first Fast and Furious movie. I don't know. I really don't know because I don't think on it too much. But glad I can answer your question. I'm a terrible person for not answering it properly. But yeah, there you go. There you go. Some dumb baka came back. Some dumb baka decided to come back here. What another amazing episode of Taku Spirit Crew. I'm super happy. Channel is doing well. I was saddened to hear you guys were planning on possibly calling it a quits a while back. That was a while back now at this point. But I'm glad you guys are still around. As for your recent podcasts and videos, the Tanuki Rakugo series looks fantastic. I first caught the anime short while they made on YouTube. Since it was recommended to me, I watched a Joshiraku video. Have you seen it? If not, here is a link to the super short, well animated. It looks cute and interesting.
Must have the show right now.
Yeah, she's definitely got the voice for it. Loving her voicing. Now, again, my whole thing around the Tanuki Rakugo show is really centered around, I hope that they pull off, again, that storytelling done. This seems more fun. I'm not sure if they're going to get into more kind of, they're typically more comedy related too, and telling stories with a like a punchline. But again, I'm just... Not that I need another show again, Roku Raku Shinju. Definitely am hoping they'll at least capture that same storytelling method that pulled off so well. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Definitely.
Well, she has a mischievousness to her voice. So she'll pull off the kind of ironic nature of some of the comedy that they do in a lot of that. So I think that she'll be able to pull it off really well.
Yeah. Also says, have you seen Orient? It looks like your typical shonen show, and it's from the creator of Magi. But boy, does it pale in comparison to the previous anime. The Aniplex budget is missing, and it definitely shows. What a shame.
Yes, I am currently watching that. I am caught up on the show. And
so how's the girl's story going? Because I only got to the part where they pretty much introduced the town.
Her story was decent. Better than most guys, honestly.
Which isn't much.
And they just finished up all that. So, and they've left that. So it'll be interesting to see where they go from this point.
They didn't leave her behind, did they?
Rita Takahashi? She went. She's with
okay.
She's
Rita Takahashi is part of the group now. Good.
Like I said, her story was solid. I'm not going to say it was fantastic. Not like Magi in any way, shape, or form. That's the frustrating thing. I'm waiting for this moment to say this is my Magi story. I'm not expecting it to be Magi. I'm just expecting it to be on the same level. Hmm. And that's where I'm really frustrated with this so far. Maybe Magi was just so fantastic that this is just nowhere near. Maybe somebody could at least give me hope. So somebody who's actually read through the light novel / manga, whatever it is, and can give me the hope that it is going to get to the same level. I would assume so, unless it's just purely because of the name that's associated with the story is the only reason why they're giving it a shot. But yeah, I am very frustrated with this story so far.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that most people say. Well, I know a lot of people are more kind of frustrated with the animation because I think a lot of the negativity is around that. And it's like, if it is a good story, I don't mind it so much. But yeah, I have to admit that unless I get that really good story that tells me don't worry about the animation, that's where my struggle is going to be. And like I said, I started seeing that with the girl's story. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. This is our first kind of real arc besides, you know, the opening. This is our first real arc where I can see what the writer wants to do and how they'll manage characters, because obviously it was a character moment, again, based on that first introduction of her. It was a character moment for her, so we'll see if that's something that can translate with the later parts of it. But yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching it. I kind of had a feeling like, you know, maybe I'll not watch this and just watch Magi instead, but it's easier for me to consume this on a weekly basis when I get caught up. Then go watch all of Magi, which is, what, 2.5, technically, seasons worth of stuff there. But, yeah, it's sad to hear how much of Magi they ended up adapting and why they stopped and then went on to his other work. Obviously, the answer is because they want to advertise Orient. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm sticking with it, though. If not for anything, but for Ryu Takahashi, so. It's Ryu Takahashi, isn't it?
Don't know.
Megaman? Isn't it Megaman? You don't know? You didn't hear her and say, oh, I know who
I have
this
not
is.
Memorized outside of Aoyuki and Tama. I don't even know her. I don't even know Tama's name, so.
I was about to say.
I only know.
Yeah, it's Ryu Takahashi.
I only know Kendro Asuda because you keep screaming his name every 5 minutes. It's got a Kendro Asuda. This has got Kendro Asuda. Okay, gotcha.
I don't remember saying it like that. That's a terrible impression of me. It's more like my man crush, Chris. My man crush is on. I never say Kendro Asuda. Anyways, we were talking about in the Discord about memorabilia, and we were talking about signatures, and I'm like, I want a signature so bad. Like, I want a real state. I have printed signatures and stuff, but I want a real signature. And I think my short list is really just, yeah, Aoyuki, Ryukijimiya, maybe even Ryuki Takahashi, but... And then, like, yeah, Kendro Asuda. Kendro Asuda's Renji Murata is obviously is I think the biggest one. I want a Renji Murata at some point, a real signature. But, I keep eyeballing the one that's on Tokyo Takuma, which I don't know. I think they said that it's supposed to be real signature, but who knows? Maybe they're just saying that just to sell it. Anyways, I loved your comment on Rent-A-Girlfriend Non-Traversy. Kazuya does this in the beginning of the manga and anime, so this is nothing new for him as a character. Same with the recent hubbub about Nezuko getting buff. This leads into your artist's intent video. I'm assuming we're around the same age, I guess. I was born in the 80s. Yes, there you go. And growing up, an anime was sold and present as a or presented as a art form that was different than the Western counterparts, and we'd get a lot of not-for-kids hyperbole, literally stickered on streamlined pictured VHS covers,
right?
On Central Park Media or 80 Vision tapes. No, that was the funny thing is, and I think I've talked about this before, is, again, one of the earlier ways that we could get anime was going into rental stores. And guess where we had to go to find the anime?
The cartoon section?
Yep, the kids area. And it was always like, just like,
I'm not gonna lie,
extremely violent. And yes, a lot of nudity. And it'll even say it in the back, like it's got that. And they just didn't know. They seen cartoon kids area. That was some good stuff. And parents never knew because you were getting it from there. They never knew. Don't really get the Fox outrage people have. Sure, I may not like how certain anime shows and or mangas series end or get upset with the content or outcome, but I am not a creator and just shrug it off and move on. Yeah, I agree with that. Well, obviously, because you're mentioning like writer, my artist intent video, which was a possible subject for today's podcast, but I think we'll probably want to put together something more concrete as an outline that we can focus our attention to. But I definitely welcome people to check out my artist intent video that I made on YouTube, because I think it's a pressing topic right now, especially with, you know, what people are saying about certain shows out right now. And it does get lost a lot with that element of, again, like Nezuko and that whole issue with her, despite people not really acknowledging the other stuff. Again, we had another case of this whole situation with Sony. They obviously are censoring this one game, and it's like, your games, your first-party games are extremely more violent than that. So, I don't know if I would say it's a rules for thee and not for me kind of thing, but I don't know. I think people just focus their attention on the wrong stuff. And yeah, like you said, technically a lot of the stuff should just be labeled. That's the whole argument right now with World's End. Like, yeah. Why... We have in, there's a setting in Crunchyroll where you say admit of your age. So why would they just not have the uncensored version? Obviously, because they don't want to get the uncensored version, but that's the argument. If I'm an adult and I click on this link for this obviously very adult show, give it to me. I'm not a child. You don't have to be my gatekeeper and tell me what is right and wrong for me. That's a whole nother topic. It's a whole can of worms right there. Oh. Anyways, thoughts?
I'm in the same realm.
In the same realm. Chris is like, do I want to get into that right now? Do I want to get into that whole can of worms right now?
Leave Best Girl in a Box alone.
Yeah, that was the thing that I kind of, we might end up, because we're kind of looking at merchandise right now, and I've already posted a couple of pictures for people to kind of look at and give ideas on it. And one of the fun ideas that we had was Best Girl in a Box, which was a joke that we had in one of our podcasts. Chris at some point was trying to figure out what the name of Nezuko was, and he just literally goes, Best Girl in a Box, what that girl. And I'm like, you talk about Nezuko? So our joke idea is to have this, like, you know, it has to be us creating something that's transformative so that we don't get in trouble for selling it. But a box that has a girl inside of it that's obviously Nezuko. But now I'm like thinking that we can probably do a whole line of them, because not only is it Best Girl in a Box, but she's technically the best, what I call it, Nezuko. The new product called Nezuko, which is basically a portable transportation unit that you can bring out at any time, and it takes you where you need to go. So if you are just get done with a huge demonic battle and you are hurting, just pop out your Nezuko, and she'll take you wherever you need to go. That was so funny. Anyways, the Mushoku Tensei... he's already getting into it. He gets into it with his comments. The Mushoku Tensei hate seems odd. Rudy acknowledges his actions are creepy and gross and works on making them better. People seem to forget that he was bullied and humiliated to the point where he became a reclusive neat. His social skills were stunted. The people that complain about the show... people who lack who work for anime companies or just fans on Twitter.
I'm gonna throw something out just on this sentence alone. They do know. They don't care. This is something that I think a lot of people don't realize in this back and forth. They know. They don't care.
Because it's easy for them to win an argument by just ignoring that and saying that you're excusing it, which, again, I don't think really anybody excuses anything. This is why it had so little fanfare at the Anime Awards. It's funny seeing interviews where the interviewers ask about their inclusion of said content, and they calmly respond, much to the dismay of the reviewer. It's weird how the newer generations views the and reacts to the content and tries to shun it in a way. Just wanted to get that off my chest. Anyhow, keep up the amazing work. Yeah, that was kind of what I really liked about that interview with the writer of Mushoku Tensei, was like they went right after him. Like, and this is what sucks about, like, come to us. We'll do some interviews with you, and we won't be trying to get gotchas on you, because that's all they're really going for is gotchas. And it was really cool that they ended up asking some good questions in the end, but yeah, they went straight for the throat. Like, what do you think about having this perverted character? And it's like, he literally comes out with an amazing answer, like, yeah, he's at his worst. And I wanted that impact of somebody coming from their worst into something better. It makes that impact of his turning point into a new person that much more impactful, because you see how terrible he is at the beginning. The director, the writer, everybody acknowledges he's a terrible person. Why can't people get that in their heads? Oh, well, they're doing it in a comedic way. Well, it's like, but comedy is supposed to be offensive. It's always been offensive. You never agree with it. You don't have to agree with it. But yeah, I do agree with you. It's, people will ignore the fact that, and I've said this before, and this is why I keep pounding on this statement. He was a man-child. He's never grown up. He's an idiot that was stuck in his room since he was in school. He's never encountered people. He never socialized. He never developed in any way, shape, or form. Yes, he's technically by age an adult, but he's not really an adult. He's a man-child. And again, it goes back to that whole argument of, if that's a problem, then I guess you need to call every single person that believes in Buddhism pedophiles, because, or peas. We'll say peas, because I don't want to get censored. We'll just call them peas, because they believe in the idea that they are reborn. So they're all old people. And again, I joked about the fact that technically it's based on that knowledge of rebirth. So you can say, how old is Eris by the standards of it? And then you say, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's not real. The story's not real. It's all made up fiction. Nobody's being harmed here. And nobody is being claimed at this being a good thing. It's just, it's a frustrating thing.
It is one of those things. The biggest frustration that I have is, and this is why I keep harping on the fact that every character deserves a redemption arc.
And that's, if the writer says that too. Exactly. If you ever meet somebody that's like Rudy, that looks like they really want to change, I hope that you reach out.
Some redemption arcs are written better than others. I personally believe his redemption arc is written more better than a lot of cases. Some characters are just kind of, oh, let's add you to the harem and all your sins are forgiven. Well, so that's not as good of a writing. But when it comes down to it, it's one of those frustration things of, just because a character does have a bad past does not necessarily mean that they are a bad character. That just means that there is more written to that character. Whether or not the writer can justify what he is doing, that's for the writer to show us. Now, you may not agree with the writing. You may not agree with whether or not that character has fully redeemed. But when it comes down to it, the story is still being written. I don't know that has the writer finished the story?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, then read all the way to the ending, and then if you decide that Rudy is still not redeemed, that's up to you. And that is your right to judge whether or not you believe Rudy has fully redeemed himself by the end of the story. Or completely his entire story. If you're only going to judge it based on that first freaking episode, I don't know what to tell you. I think that you're ignorant. And
what is the best way of putting it?
I would say closed-minded.
Closed-minded.
Because, I mean, that's the whole thing of, like, do you do that for everything? Because you probably don't want to read much because... Or I don't know. I guess you're boring.
Yeah, really?
In my opinion, I think you're boring. You know, you might find joy out of doing that and enjoying the stories you enjoy, and that's fine. But from my vantage point, I think that's pretty boring. I like to explore concepts and ideas that are uncomfortable. Because I like to... You can't understand why something's uncomfortable and why it's wrong unless you look at it and explore what it's doing. And it's not to say that you need to agree with any of it. Because I watch plenty of horror stuff. I mean, we watch lots of stuff that involves characters that are killing other characters. But it's not like we're saying that's a good thing. If you watch a military flick where they're just gunning down a bunch of people,
that doesn't mean you agree with
gunning down people.
Are you justifying... when they cry?
Yes. Because that's perfectly fine to do. But no, I kind of agree with you, and I mean, we're not shying away from the idea that I do believe that Mushoku Tensei was snuffed. And snuffed from a lot of... I'm not just talking about certain venues. I'm just... The overall, last year... And I don't blame anybody, because I watched a lot of content creators that all, you know, gave their top lists, and it's like, and they don't want to acknowledge it. And some of them will even make video that made videos early on getting excited about it, aren't acknowledging it. And you can find some of them where they do kind of explain why they're not acknowledging it. And it's because they're afraid that if people know that they acknowledge it, they're going to get, I don't know, attacked for it. Like, you accept this, you're a bad person. And I think, and I've had that experience with a couple comments already where people are now trying to say that my opinion on this is wrong because I supported Mushoku Tensei. And I'm already trying to shut them down. Like, I don't care. I don't want to get into that gotcha discussion where because you liked this show, you now support this, and thus all of your other comments are, you know, useless. I'm not going to even get into that, because that's exactly why everybody else doesn't want to acknowledge Mushoku Tensei. Despite the artistry, the animation, the beautiful animation, the storytelling, the world building, everything, they don't want to acknowledge it because of this one thing. They're afraid of being seen as supporting the mindset of Rudy that is obviously flawed. Again, admitted by the writer himself, admitted by the director themselves. And that's, I think, we're in a terrible spot when we do that. When we don't want to, and that was a whole thing behind me posting here recently on Twitter to the studio, to the director, and to the writer saying, you gained Otaku Spirits Anime of the Year. Because I kind of felt bad thinking about it, how everybody doesn't want to acknowledge Mushoku Tensei despite the fact that it's... Put aside Rudy's story. It is perfection in storytelling, directing, visual. And if you can't acknowledge those three things because you think that the character themselves is a bad person, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's still art in the end. No matter how you put it, it's still art in the end. So I'm like, I want to acknowledge it. We're acknowledging it. And we're probably going to get in trouble for it. But we're going to acknowledge it. I don't care. Is this the hill I'm dying on? I guess. I don't know. I guess this is the hill I'm dying on, because I think the fandom's out there. But I think there a lot of the fandom is afraid of talking about it. And that's sad that we're in that position, especially for anime now.
Yeah, this is the frustration is getting to a point where something has to give. Either. Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. There you go. But thanks, some dumb baka. You're my favorite baka. All right, Johnny writes in and says, first off, I wanted to thank you. You guys do so much work for the anime fandom, and I appreciate that hard work. Well, thank you. Even though this podcast is us being lazy. I like how your question's asked in the podcast where we're literally being lazy because the last 48 hours has been pretty crappy. But... Thank you. Appreciate that. I appreciate your appreciation. I'm sure sometimes it might seem like your work is going unnoticed or maybe not worth the work, but we appreciate you guys. P.S. Sorry if some of this is hard to read. I typed it while in a parking lot before I had headed into work. Hope you guys have a great week. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Taking the time before your work to send us work. No, I'm joking. But no, I don't ever have, well, obvious, and this is, again, another reason why I don't really look into a lot of content creators and stuff. I don't like to look at what I think I should be at for views and our podcast and everything, because I think our podcast is doing fantastic. Yes, there's time where it feels like, you know, getting feedback or getting ratings or stuff like that's a little difficult. And that's not us requiring work from people. It's really just saying, help us get better. You don't have to give us monetary support. You can help us in other ways. Telling other people about us. Yeah, ranking us on iTunes. Hitting the like button on videos. Subscribing. Stuff like that does help us, you know, improve our, you know, overall, I guess, algorithms to get into other people's feeds. But it's always appreciated. Every single bit of it. And yeah, feedback is always appreciated too. Rate my favorite anime movies. Here's one of the people jumping in on this whole thing. So, starting from number 10, I like that you started it backwards, like Chris does. Number 10, favorite anime movies. Summer Wars, one of the first anime movies I watched. Remember getting it at the library and not even knowing if it was an anime at the time. Knowing it was an anime at the time, I thought it was a blast and has a special place in my heart now.
Really loved it.
I'm going to go 9. I'm going to give it a 9. 9 out of 10. I really do enjoy it. I think it was, I think this is probably one of his best works because it never has a point in it where I feel like he's losing his narrative or getting lost anywhere. I think it's a solid story from beginning to end. It has, you know, a setup. It goes into the family's thing, gets in all the crazy stuff later on. And it's always got the same concept built around it, which is family. And that family aspect was something that I haven't really seen. Obviously, families don't really exist much in anime. So to have this one where it's like, this feels like a family. This feels like everybody is, like, this feels like a long time ago when we used to go to our grandmother's all the time for Thanksgiving. It felt like that disjointedness of, you know, different groups of, you know, cousins and stuff that come in together and they find some sort of conversation to get into. And I think it pulled it off really well, so. Definitely up there for me. Number 9, he has Garden of Words. Just a super gorgeous film with an interesting story. Sorry. 5. It's a 5 for me. Sorry.
I liked it. I would put it in the 7 range.
I thought
it was very beautiful.
I will agree, yes. Super gorgeous. Like, that was when they were going for that kind of... They were literally trying to go for, like, a hyper-realism with the art style. And, I mean, it looked gorgeous. But, like, an overall story, I didn't feel like it was there for me. But
Dude has a habit of doing more feet. Kind of...
it's a feet fetish movie. He was technically a shoemaker, let's be honest.
Dude has an... He really does love to do just flashy, pretty stuff. But his stories are kind of more bittersweet. But he doesn't do a lot to the stories. He just kind of he's more of an ambience kind of storyteller of just kind of life
in the moment. So, yeah, it's an in the moment kind of thing. I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this one. Number 8, he has Porco Rosso. I absolutely adored this film. The only reason is it's not higher up is that because I feel like it never gave a good ending. It's one of the few I haven't watched, unfortunately, and I really, really need to get to it.
At least I'm not alone on this one. I actually, this is big time on my list of shame because it being a Ghibli and one of the few Ghiblis I have not watched.
Yeah. Number 7, Dragon Ball Z, Battle of the Gods. Okay, I know, but let me explain. You better explain. Oh, gosh. Let me explain. Dragon Ball Z was my childhood show. I loved it. When the series, this is going to be a long explanation, isn't it? When the series finally announced that it will return and that it was would be a movie, I was excited. I got the tickets for my brother as well, and we had an epic night watching it. The theater was actually full of my area, and people even stood on the entrance stairs who couldn't get seats. It was awesome. Now, okay, you have technically a nostalgia element there, so I guess that's what you're going for. And that's a good thing. I'm sad that it's the opposite to my experience with the Pokemon movie, but that literally made me jump out of anime. But no, if that's the reason, yeah, I can go with you. But I don't know. It was probably one of my favorite parts of Super. Like, that particular story arc was a lot of fun. Again, similar to you, it was, for me, at the time when I got back into it, was like, it felt like a returning into Dragon Ball. But yeah, my problem more stems for the later Super stuff that kind of eludes me, but I can see where you're going at with this. But for me, 6? I'll go 6, maybe 7. Maybe 7 just for nostalgia glasses. Did you get a chance to get into the new Super stuff?
Yeah, I think that we're technically in the middle of Battle of the Gods, so I don't know. I don't know how it's going to end.
You're in the middle of it?
Yeah, they were. He was still fighting Goku Rose or whatever. Or
no, Battle of the Gods would be when Beerus first showed up, isn't it? He's talking about the movie, right? Am I wrong? Am I the one that's crazy?
I mean, it could be Beerus. I don't know.
Yeah, this is the Beerus fight, and they all come on the boat, and they're having Bulma's 50th birthday, because she always has to have Safari celebrations for her birthday. I think it was Bulma. Yeah, because she gets really angry that they're messing it up. And then Beerus shows up, and they start fighting Beerus. And then they talk him into eating foods, and he's finally calmed. And then stupid Boo. Boo gets him upset again. Vegeta the entire time is trying to make him happy. So you get to see Vegeta being an idiot, trying to serve Beerus to calm him. Now I'm remembering a lot of fun parts in it. Like I said, it was technically one of my favorite.
Yeah, it was.
Why I'm claiming it's in the Super realm. It's technically before Super, but
that's a lot of it. It's nice to have that the show back is a lot of it. My love for it. I really need to want to finish more of the show, but when it comes down to it, a lot of my love for this particular arc was just kind of getting it back. Is really what it is. Mm-hmm. For me.
I think that's what he's kind of pointing out. So, number 6, Demon Slayer, Mugen Train. Love the animation and story. Watched it in theaters. Did help and with the excitement, though. Now, I'm here to help you, because obviously you don't know the majority thought process here. Obviously, you don't know that Demon Slayer is purely carried by its animation alone, and you're not allowed to like it. I'm sorry to bring that to your attention, but the world has spoken. You like something you're not allowed to like.
No, you're not supposed to like it because it is best show. You're not allowed.
It's too. Yeah, it's overrated.
It's overrated. You're supposed to like it because it's the greatest show ever. You don't understand. It's not the greatest movie ever. It's the greatest show ever.
And the other thing I must. Transport to you, the comment that I must bring to your attention is that it's okay. You just need to watch more shows. it's obvious since you like this, you just need to watch more shows, you know, better shows. So it's okay. We're here to the anime sphere as a whole is here to protect your interests. But no, I enjoyed it. Yeah, like you, I thought it was really fantastic, the animation. I'm still mad that technically the TV split of it took over the animation award from Mushoku Tensei, but that's not here nor there. It's not Ufotable's fault that people chose that. But no, incredible animation. That was the thing that I enjoyed most about the Mugen Train movie. I technically watched the movie first, was that I almost thought it was ended. It's one of those ones where you're like, okay, now it's coming to an end. And then suddenly, like, they have that, like, later part of it that I'm not going to get into because spoilers. But I was like, holy crap, I'm starting to, like, feel a little fatigued about what we're getting into here. And it's a little bit late in the movie. I wish they would kind of split them, I guess.
Hey, Andrew, just came off the presses. It's over here on this fax machine. We
have a fax machine?
Yes, we have a fax machine.
I heard a dial tone.
I just let everybody know. Demon Slayer has now become the new ex-girlfriend. Go ahead and get ready. We're all going to switch now and hate it. And we seen it ahead of time. It was the worst writing ever. We all hate it. And
it was never good.
It was never good.
It was never
good. So get ready. This just came off of the press. It is now decided. Demon Slayer is the worst anime ever.
I think this is more fun just sarcasming the criticisms rather than try to debate it, because you know it's just bogus anyways. Nobody cares. Again, like when I see comments like that where they're like, anybody that puts Demon Slayer in the top list needs to watch more shows. It's like, I don't care. Like, if somebody wants to put it in a top list, they like it. What's the matter? What's wrong with liking something? Why is liking bad now? Next one. 5, Your Name. You got a lot of movies. Do you have any TV series, or is this all movies?
I think it's all movies.
I think you did say movies, huh? Mm-hmm. I guess I should have probably noted that. Anyways, I think I did. I just didn't read it right. Your Name. I know a lot of people would have this higher on their list, and my next movie will make that pick weirder.
Not really.
But don't let that distract you. The movie was amazing, beautiful, and emotional.
Not really. We go through this every year when we start debating which shows are the best of the year. Just in one year, you're talking about several shows that are competing for that top spot, and you keep going back and forth, and we make the joke of, ask me in 5 minutes, it's going to be a completely different list. And that could be how you ended up in this point of, when it comes down, Your Name is a fantastic show. And so, yeah, competing, especially when I already technically read a little bit ahead and I know what's ahead, I can agree. Putting it above at least one of those shows, I would never do.
No, I really enjoyed Your Name. I thought it was really good. And I think this is another one of those ones that kind of falls into the Demon Slayer category, where it's because Your Name got so popular. I mean, it broke box office. It took the spot for, like, the best box office for anime. I think it overtook Spirited Away, didn't it? And it was global.
Yeah.
Like, it was everywhere, where Spirited Away starred in Japan. It, by some great amount of effort, it ended up into Western theaters, but it took over that. Spirited Away had always been the top grosser of anime films, and now suddenly this took it. And I think Mugen Train, I think Mugen Train beat Your Name after that. I don't remember, but it was fantastic. It was a really good story. Probably Izzy, one of my favorite of his work, I think. Let me double check. I don't want to say that and then. I mean, I enjoyed it so much that I ended up getting, like, a whole bunch of different versions of it, and that I ended up buying. So it's not a shock for most people that have listened to us for a while to know that I really enjoy it. But again, I think it is one of those ones where, because of how popular it is, suddenly you have the naysayers come in and say, well, actually, it's not that great because you don't know what you're talking about. I just came here
because I think the director is the writer.
Oh, I guess he would be, huh? There he is. I was looking for him. I didn't want to write down his name. I thought that it would be easier if I went to Your Name. Like, I really do like 5 Centimeters Per Second, because I think that was my first introduction to him, really. And I thought it was a really beautiful little short. Was it an OVA or was it a movie? Yeah. So, like, I think a lot of my focus for him was a lot in 5 Centimeters Per Second. So that easily probably would have been my breakout for him. Like, Children Who Chase Lost Voices was okay as well. She and Her Cat, obviously. Then all of his a million different company trailers that he does. But anyways, I'm thinking that you're just a big Makoto Shinkai fan in the end. The next one's going to be a bad one for me, too. 4, he's got Weathering With You. He says, I adore that this film. The only one on the list that I watched it twice in theaters. I don't know why I enjoyed it as much as I did, but it hit all the cylinders for me. Beautiful animation, engaging stories for me, and the characters were so enjoyable. It's not one I've watched. Unfortunately, again, not one that I watched. I think I bought it, didn't I?
I don't know that one at all, so you're one up on me.
Was that the one that had, like, the tornado, like, hit some school? Yeah, I'll get that one eventually. Just unfortunately.
That's another Shinkai. Makes sense.
That's all I'm saying. He's got, it's a fan right here. Obviously, a big fan right here. 3, Princess Mononoke. This is also a special place in my heart. My dad went on a mission trip to Japan when I was younger, and he actually brought this film back with him as a present. He did not know about some of the violent scenes in the movie. Arrow ripping off limbs and other stuff.
Decapitating arrows.
Was not something he imagined it would be in it, but that didn't stop us from falling in love with the film. I wish we still had the original DVD that he brought from Japan, but it has been lost somehow over the years. Yeah, that was definitely... I keep debating... Like, my whole perspective when it comes to Ghibli is, if you ask me my personal favorite Ghibli film of all time, it's Princess Mononoke. If you ask me what do I think is the greatest film of Ghibli of all time, it's Spirited Away. It's like the personal versus what I critically think is probably the best. But yeah, Princess Mononoke has always been like my favorite Ghibli film of all time. I've watched it way too many times. I've watched it in Japanese. I've watched it in dub. I go back and forth all the time. I think the only thing that really makes me second guess myself with Princess Mononoke is Kiki's Delivery Service. Like, Kiki's Delivery Service was my first love of Ghibli. Princess Mononoke was the first one where I was like, I really like this story and everything in it. So, yeah, I'm always conflicted there, but Princess Mononoke is just a classic for me. It's just it's storytelling, it's directing, it's pacing and everything just is so solid. Like, every bit of it does well to tell a story, and it keeps moving in a fantastic paced way. I'm stumbling over my thoughts there, but yeah, I agree with you. Princess Mononoke is definitely a fantastic 10 out of 10 for me, easily. So good pick there. I hope that everything above this is going to be phenomenal. Otherwise, I'll be angry at you.
Princess Mononoke is absolutely fantastic. It's always had a soft spot in my heart.
Wolves.
Yeah, because of wolves. wolves and wolf girl it and easily.
Wolf mamas.
But when it comes down to it, I do lean towards the other side of Ghibli, so it is what it is.
What's the other side of Ghibli? Is there a dark side of Tatsuhiko? Is there a dark web of...
No, that's all Miyazaki stuff.
Oh, you don't like Miyazaki. I got you.
No, I like Miyazaki. I just like the other guy better, and his shows are the ones that I tend to lean towards.
You're always supposed to be either good or bad on everything, Chris. Don't try to make this whole, well, I'm fine with both. Everything must be polarizing.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like this. Just like the thought process of today.
We're gonna keep putting jabs out at the world. I'm sorry.
They started. Okay.
They started it.
They started it. Wolf Children is number 2.
How is this not number 1 is beyond me. But hey, I'm holding out hope that your number 1 is going to destroy this.
His number 1's mixed up in some stuff, so I don't really know what it is yet. So that's
my
good.
Number 1 is easily probably always going to be Wolf Children. I absolutely love that movie in every way, shape, or form.
Because wolves.
Because wolves. Because wolves. Exactly.
Well, I think they agree with you.
Lolly Wolf in there too. So, yeah. I mean, even better.
Yeah, they have 2 wolves in this list, so I'm guessing it's going along with you. This movie just makes me laugh, feel sad, but also feel happy. A very beautiful adventure that reminds me of family. I can put this movie in and laugh, smile all over again. I'm glad that to have this one in my collection. Yeah, that was definitely one that when that came out. I want to say that me and Chris looked in the scene about seeing it in theaters, and we just didn't get anything close. Yeah, but we did
go across halfway across the country for.
But we did when it was available. We pre-ordered it and everything, and got it here, and we watched through it a couple of times. I think we ended up watching the dub and the sub. We ended up watching it. We watched the dub with our family because we ended up showing it to everybody else. So we obviously had to watch it in dub at that point. But it worked out in the end. It was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. I mean, it was enough that I ended up going out and I got the official large tome of an art book that they had available. I ended up also getting the manga print that they did. So I ended up getting quite a bit. I almost got a figure of it too, but that was unfortunately a little bit expensive at the time. But yeah, definitely love that one. We'll give you a 10 out of 10 for that one as well. Number 1, we have number 1, the number 1 for Johnny, for his favorite anime film of all time, goes to I have to read the rest of his stuff, so I guess I can't say everything off the bat. My number one pick is probably one that isn't on anyone else's top three, though it's popular and enjoyed by many. My favorite anime for me is A Silent Voice.
You can't blame you on that.
Potch, potch, potch. This is just one of those movies that changed my life. I know the movie can be a little dramatic, just a little, lol, but that didn't stop me from enjoying it. The characters are excellent, and it taught me to treat people with respect always. You never know what somebody could be going through, and as someone who is an introvert, it also reminded me how important friendships are as well.
I'm going to throw it out there. I hope you have. If you have not, go and read the manga. It is absolutely worth it. I think that they did a very respectable job in converting
Kyoto Animation.
Yeah.
Obviously, they did a good job.
Kyoto Animation did a fantastic job, and they were very respectful of it.
Naoko Yamada was the one that directed it too, right?
Not sure. But if you have not, I would highly suggest reading the manga. There's a lot of stuff that got left out that put a little bit more context into certain things. And while they hit all the major story beats, there are some things that was kind of left to the side for respectable reasons.
Side characters, really.
Yeah, it's mostly side characters.
But those side characters affected the main characters. Yeah. So
Just for the fun of it, you may, if you have not, go ahead and do that. But I highly respect your putting that as number one. It is a fantastic movie. The story is amazing, easily.
Yeah, I'll post it in the Discord at some point. I can show you physically my love for A Silent Voice, and that is, yes, I have the entire manga set. I considered buying it again just to get the box set they end up doing for it, which I really hate they released it and then they do a box set and not sell the box later. But yeah, they had like a chipboard box and everything. I was tempted to buy that. I was on the camp of people that were a little upset when we got the announcement that they were only going to do a 2-hour film, mm-hmm. because I knew they weren't going to cover all the content with that. I wanted a TV series. But what we got from it was a really well done directing and adaptation of specifically focusing on their story, like the main story, and cutting out a lot of the side characters. Now, the only after effect from that is you get a lot of characters like Noka, who's like, why is she even here? Well, because we can't get into her story because we don't have the time. And again, a lot of that stuff you get in the manga. So yeah, I do agree with Chris. If you haven't already, if you do enjoy that movie as much as you do, definitely check out the manga. Not to say they did a bad job, was that you're going to get some extra content in there, which is always nice. That was the reason why I picked up a lot of the manga series that I do, is just to get the extra context. Marie the Virgin Wench was a good example. Watch that entire series. It was a full adaptation. I ended up buying the manga, and then you have like this little, yeah, you get to re-explore the story from the vantage point of the original creator, rather than having possibly something altered, plus additional scenes, additional context that, yeah, kind of would ruin the pacing of the movie or the story that it was adapted from or into that you can end up getting. So, yeah, so I have the manga. I have the Blu-ray release from here. I have the physical release from Japan, which had actually subtitles in it as well, which I really enjoy as well. So, yeah, really love it. Really, really happy to have it. Oh, yeah, I also have the premium edition that they had, like, I think Right Stuff did the standard edition, and they, or maybe it's the other way around. No, Right Stuff did the limited edition, and then whatever studio had the license over here did the regular standard. So I did both. I double dipped it. So worth it. Really enjoy it. Yeah, it's fantastic. And obviously Kyoto Animation, which they do just phenomenal job of animating. And the other thing that I really like in it, and this is like credit to the studio, it's credit to Naoko Yamada, who worked on it, which, definitely, if you don't know, check out all of Naoko Yamada's work. She used to be pretty much mainly a director with Kyoto Animation. Unfortunately, has left, but everything she touches is great, because she's able to really pull off a lot of those scenes, a lot of detail. And being from a manga, a lot of the focus, as you can tell early on, is about this idea of him really kind of isolating himself from other people. And so they have like all the X's on all the characters' faces. I love how they portray that and how they portray that eventual moment, which all that stuff kind of gets lifted. So it's great stuff. I really enjoyed it. Kind of, again, wish it was a TV series, but I'm fine with the movie because it was fantastic. So yeah, that's, I don't know. Do you think that that's a surprise for anybody? Because the way that you worded it, the way that he worded it is really on this idea of like, it's probably not going to be on anybody else's top three.
I don't see why it wouldn't be on anybody's top three. I mean, it's that one is a movie that is relatable on a lot of different levels.
Oh yeah,
and as much as it can affect you, I mean, I personally hold the manga in high regard, and I would probably put the manga as my number one of all time. Why? Because it affected me on so many different levels. So a movie adaptation of that, I can go with that. I personally love Wolf Children in a different way, and so my automatic inclination, if you ask me what's your number one anime movie of all time, I'd probably say Wolf Children in a heartbeat. Silent Voice, if you were to ask me my manga, I'd probably say Silent Voice. So it's one of those things of how they hit me at different times. Silent Voice, the movie did not affect me the same way that the manga did. Why? Because the manga got there first, basically.
It won.
Yeah. And so, I mean, Wolf Children affected me personally on a certain level. Now, if you were to ask me, I would probably have a very close on my number two, which would be Grave of Fireflies. That hit me hard. And I will always have a very personal moment as far as how that one hit me. And so Wolf Children and that one are going to come very, very close and close. Whereas A Silent Voice, I already had that moment. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, technically, if you were going for the source material, the storyline of A Silent Voice, yeah, that would probably be very, very high up there. And right next to Grave of Fireflies, because both of them hit me in around the same level. They were both very emotional moments, when those moments hit me. So take that for what it is. I'm trying to explain something that's emotional and
I gotta read this. My anime list never fails. Silent Voice is dangerous because it's exploitive. I'm not going to pretend I know anybody that's anything about deaf people. I don't. This movie certainly does not allow any greater understanding into the mind of deaf people, and is the point. I want to iterate. It uses a serious problem as a plot device constantly and reduces Nishimiya's to one dimension. She is a textbook definition of a Mary Sue as well as a damsel in distress.
That this is gotta be a
troublesome
troll
when trying to explain deafness to an able-bodied audience.
That has gotta be a troll. There is no way.
I will admit, I don't think the movie really got too much into her as much as I think the manga did.
This is true.
So maybe that's I try to understand people. Yeah, it probably is just a troll. Half of my MLS is troll, but I mean, you'd say it's a troll, but they literally put a 3 on there. So you're trolling while also destroying the overall rating of the show, which I think is kind of bad. But anyways, I don't want to leave it on that note, but that's the note we're leaving it on, I guess. Thanks for the submission, Johnny, and allowing yourself. Let's acknowledge Johnny, like before, is somebody who is willing to come out here and say, here's what I love, destroy it. And we don't destroy things here, but we criticize what we wanted to criticize, I guess. Our perspective is not really criticizing. It's really saying, this is what I think. And the willingness to do that on the podcast is admirable. I really do appreciate that. So if you guys wish to have us rate your picks. Did I say Silent Voice, by the way, 10-10? I think I did mention that, but just to make sure. You got a good record here. I mean, your number one's 10-10. Two's 10-10. I think, what was the other one that I thought was 10-10?
10-10, 10-10? 10-10.
Yeah, your top 10-10. Three is 10-10 for me. Your number five is 10-10 for me, so 10-10, 10-10, 10-10, 10-10, 10-10, 10-10, 10-10. That
poor guy.
9, 10, 10-1, 10-2, 10, 10-9, 10-10, 10-10-1, 10-10-2. That was great. Anyways, that was great. Again, if you guys want to, definitely submit that to us. And that's our last question. That's our last question. We have a call out. We went through all the questions. We have a call out. Again, Andrew@otakuspirit.com. You can email your questions that way. For now, until it goes down, otakuspirit.com, there's a contact us button at the top there. You can click and submit a question. Or, again, join our Discord server. Jump into there, and there's going to be a question area you can put your questions. So this is the call out. Before our next discussion, we need more questions. Otherwise, Andrew has to start making up questions and acting like people submitted questions they didn't submit. So thank you guys for joining us, despite this being just a laid-back, pretty much a mailbag question episode. Hopefully there was some fun discussion in there. Again, technically, the topics I put as possibility us doing, we end up getting drug out of us by certain commenters, but... Yeah, as always, again, otakuspirit.com, until it goes down, it's where you can find all of our links to everywhere. Also on Twitter, Patreon, all those other locations, we're there. Just search us. But we appreciate you guys listening to us and all of our supporters through Patreon and through Super Chats and donations. We definitely appreciate everybody that supports us that way and for people that tell other people about us, which is appreciated as well. So, including DeWalk. But yeah, we hope you all enjoyed and y'all take care.
Os. Shana